Praise God. Welcome, everybody. This is the day the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Wonderful day today. Thank you all for getting up an hour early to come. Hope everybody's enjoying their extra hour of daylight they get because they get up early. So, praise God for that. Today, Pastor R. Karen and I are going to talk about loving one another. This will be part four with a quick recap of the first three parts. As we close in on Resurrection Sunday, we've also spent it before that is the Good Friday. And that's where God showed that he loved us so much he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus showed his ultimate love for us by taking that sacrifice and going to the cross. And he exhibited love. And love is what God is really all about. Love one another. So, we'll do a quick review of these, if you look at your outline. God's love is better than Valentine's Day, okay? 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. May God show his love to you in a very tangible way every day, in the name of Jesus. Now, it's very important that we feel God's love. As he's showing his love for us, every day, every breath you take is because he loves you. The Greek word agape is often translated love in the New Testament. Agape love is different from other types of love. It means goodwill, benevolence, willful delight in the object of love. Unlike our English word love, agape is not used in the New Testament to refer to eros, which means romantic or sexual love in Greek. Agape is not rooted to philia, which means close friendship and brotherly love in Greek. Agape love involves faithfulness, commitment, and act of the will. It's distinguished from other types of love by its lofty moral nature and strong character. Agape love is beautifully described in 1 Corinthians 13. This is the Amplified Classic. If I can speak in tongues of men, need of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as inspired by God's love for us and in us, I'm only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, I understand all the secret truths and mysteries, possess all knowledge, I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor, providing food, if I surrender my body to be burned in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. What he's saying, no matter what you do in the earth, if you don't have love, you're nothing. And we know you have love. We understand that. But that's what this means here. Love endures long, is patient and kind. Love is never envious, nor boils over jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious and does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmanly, does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness. Rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes and is ever ready to believe the best in every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances and endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose will be unfulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, it will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by the truth. For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete and imperfect, and our prophecy, our teaching, is fragmentary, incomplete and imperfect. But when the complete and perfect total comes, the incomplete and imperfect will vanish away, become antiquated, void, and superseded. Colossians 3:14. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Okay. I want you to think about that for a second. Think of a mother's love for her children. I was blessed with a wonderful mother. And she loved unconditionally. And she loved every one of her nieces and nephews unconditionally. And that's what we're talking about here. This kind of love. Where no matter what they did, they still loved them. They cared for them. Okay. So let us pray. 1 Corinthians 13 and Colossians 3:14 in the Amplified Classic Version together by repeating this prayer with me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I do not want to be.
I do not want to be.
Like a noisy gong.
Like a noisy gong.
Or a clanging cymbal.
Or a clanging cymbal.
I want to display love.
I want to display love.
To one another.
To one another.
With spiritual devotion.
With spiritual devotion.
Such as is inspired.
Such as is inspired.
By God's agape love.
By God's agape love.
For and in me.
For and in me.
I ask you, Holy Spirit.
I ask you, Holy Spirit.
To help me operate.
To help me operate.
In God's gifts.
In God's gifts.
And fruit of the Holy Spirit.
And fruit of the Holy Spirit.
In a greater degree.
In a greater degree.
And have greater faith.
And have greater faith.
To remove mountains.
To remove mountains.
Of challenges.
Of challenges.
With God's agape love.
With God's agape love.
God help me.
God help me.
Provide more for the poor.
Provide more for the poor.
And glorify you.
And glorify you.
In everything I do.
In everything I do.
So that you are greater.
So that you are greater.
Than anything I can do.
Than anything I can do.
You are more popular.
You are more popular.
Than me.
Than me.
And I do not promote myself.
And I do not promote myself.
But stay humble.
But stay humble.
Because of God's agape love.
Because of God's agape love.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
God's agape love.
God's agape love.
In me.
In me.
Endures long.
Endures long.
And is patient.
And is patient.
And kind.
And kind.
Is never.
Is never.
Envious.
Envious.
Nor boils over.
Nor boils over.
With jealousy.
With jealousy.
It is not boastful.
It is not boastful.
Or vainglorious.
Or vainglorious.
And does not display itself.
And does not display itself.
Haughtily.
Haughtily.
God's agape love.
God's agape love.
In me.
In me.
Is not conceited.
Is not conceited.
Arrogant or inflated.
Arrogant or inflated.
With pride.
With pride.
It is not rude.
It is not rude.
Unmannerly.
Unmannerly.
And does not act unbecomingly.
And does not act unbecomingly.
God's agape love.
God's agape love.
In me.
In me.
Does not insist.
Does not insist.
On its own rights.
On its own rights.
Or its own way.
Or its own way.
For it is not self-seeking.
For it is not self-seeking.
It is not touchy.
It is not touchy.
Or fretful.
Or fretful.
Or resentful.
Or resentful.
It takes no account.
It takes no account.
Of the evil done.
Of the evil done.
To it.
To it.
It pays no attention.
It pays no attention.
To a suffered wrong.
To a suffered wrong.
God's agape love.
God's agape love.
In me.
In me.
Does not rejoice.
Does not rejoice.
At injustice.
At injustice.
And unrighteousness.
And unrighteousness.
But rejoices.
But rejoices.
When right and truth prevail.
When right and truth prevail.
God's agape love.
God's agape love.
In me.
In me.
Bears up.
Bears up.
Under anything.
Under anything.
And everything.
And everything.
That comes.
That comes.
Is ever ready.
Is ever ready.
To believe the best.
To believe the best.
Of every person.
Of every person.
Its hopes are fadeless.
Its hopes are fadeless.
Under all circumstances.
Under all circumstances.
It endures everything.
And it endures everything.
Without weakening.
Without weakening.
God's agape love.
God's agape love.
In me.
In me.
Never fails.
Never fails.
Never fades out.
Never fades out.
Or becomes obsolete.
Or becomes obsolete.
Or comes to an end.
Or comes to an end.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Because I put on God's.
Because I put on God's.
Agape love every day.
Agape love every day.
It binds.
It binds.
Everything together.
Everything together.
And I walk in love.
And I walk in love.
In perfect harmony.
In perfect harmony.
With everyone.
With everyone.
Praise
the
Lord.
Amen. Okay, we're going to go to part two, B. Let love guide your life. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring or flows the issues of life. So we have to guard our hearts so that we're not offended easily, and we're all working on that and getting better at it. And that song, More Love, More Power, More of You in My Life, what that means is God's love is already in us. Once we are giving our love to God, God's power is in us because we're born again, and you're not going to get more power. He's already in us. Everything that we need from God is in us, and he's bestowed to us. But what that song is saying is, I want more love to be shown and demonstrated in my life to other people. That I need to be more loving. I need to see more love and more power extended to other people and in my life. I need to have power over the areas where I have been weak in. So I'm using what love is inside of me and letting it come forth to a greater degree. That's what that song means. I'm using God's dunamis, dynamite, resurrection power inside of me, and I want to see that more and more in every area of my life. And so I want God to be exemplified, that when people see me, they see Jesus. That I want to do what Jesus did. What would Jesus do? WWJD. And so I'm going to try to exemplify in my life God and his agape love in every decision, in every thing that I react to and respond to. Would Jesus get mad all the time at somebody? Would Jesus be offended? Would Jesus say something curt and rude? And if you say you forgive someone and you have prayed that prayer, then why are you not treating them as if nothing happened? You should be like, erase it, it didn't happen, let's move forward, let's build that relationship, and let's forget about the past, like Paul says, and look towards the future and run towards the mark of our high calling together in harmony, praying one for another instead of talking bad about each other or criticizing or whatever. But when we need to pray about something, then we can address those issues and ask God to help us, and the love of God will help us to be able to identify sin, to love ourselves enough and that person enough, to reconcile, to ask for forgiveness, to forgive other people, and to walk in love one with another in a newness of our relationship, so that we will not have animosity and learn to understand each other and walk together. That's what more love means. More love means that I am going to decide that people who are very, very challenging, I'm going to have more compassion for. I'm not going to get upset. I'm going to start praying for them and asking God to help them with whatever challenges they have, because hurt people will hurt other people. And so we have to say, Lord, what are they being hurt from? What do they need to be healed in? How can I be a blessing in my intercessory prayer privately for that person so that they won't have to be grumpy anymore? That's what I want more love to do in my life, okay? And number two, when you hear the word of God, your heart is either softened or hardened. And of course, we need to have our hearts softened to God by obedience to his word. Hebrews 4, 2, 6, and 7 says, for indeed we have had the glad tidings, the gospel of God, which means the good news proclaimed to us, but the message they heard did not benefit them. Why? Because it was not mixed with faith. So we have to have that faith mixed with the word. And that way, with the leaning of our entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, his wisdom, and his goodness, so that not only are we demonstrating God's love, we need to demonstrate his power, his wisdom, and his goodness, all the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit as well. So by those who heard it, neither were they united in faith with the ones, referring to Joshua and Caleb, who heard, who they did believe. So Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that believed at that time. Seeing then that the promise remains over from past times for some to enter that rest. When people have anxiety, when they feel overwhelmed, when they feel stressed out, when they feel angry, when they feel frustrated or offended, that is not God's rest. That's a good indicator. There might be something of sin or offense or unforgiveness that you have to rewind the video and see what upset you so you could confess your sins and then get back into God's rest, which obviously is the peace of God, and that those who formerly were given the good news about it and the opportunity, they fail to appropriate it. We don't want to fail to appropriate God's word. We don't want to fail to activate God's word, operate in it, and do what it says. And those people did not enter because of disobedience. Why? God told them to enter the land. They got scared of what they thought were giants. They didn't think God was bigger than those giants. Only Joshua and Caleb believed. And so they were disobedient. For 40 years, the disobedience made them be in the desert. If you have desert challenges in your life, if you've got some problems and challenges, what is it that you might be disobedient to not appropriate your faith with the word of God? And you might want to ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything? And check that out, because it says in verse 7, today, if you would hear his voice, and when you hear it, do not harden your hearts. In other words, Holy Spirit, soften my heart to the word of God today in Jesus' name. Show me if there's any areas. Show each of us if we need to change something, if we need to repent of not realizing we were disobedient to your word and not doing it. And so, Lord, show me. Holy Spirit, help me. So that way I could show more love to others, and I could walk in the way that God wants me to walk, in his rest, in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Okay, part 3, Matthew 27:37-39 says, let the great commandment of love lead you. So Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two commandments Jesus said were above all the others. Okay? Give preference to others. You do not exalt yourself above other people. That is pride, which is the opposite of love. If you can't love, if there is no trust. Demons, devils, and evil spirits can bombard one's mind to make one not trust others who are trustworthy. This is an evil scheme to divide and conquer. Now, I've often found people make assumptions of something. They're usually wrong. You need to find out the whole story before you make a decision. Because when you're making assumptions, it's probably a demon, devil, or spirit telling you something that's not true, because they want to cause strife. They want to cause problems. That's what demons, devils, and evil spirits do. Okay? But when you know the whole story, you can't be confused. You'll know exactly what to do. Trust comes from the heart, since we love God from our heart. To love yourself, you must give up guilt, condemnation, and self-hatred. Now, let's talk about this for a second. Many times in ministry, people are very easy to forgive others, but they look at their own mistakes and they hold on to them. And they feel so bad about the mistakes of their past. When Jesus went to that cross and forgave you of your sins, he forgave you of every mistake you've ever made, ever, period. If you don't receive that, you're telling Jesus his going to the cross was not worth it. We all blew it. I can safely say there's not one person here, now, or in the future listening to this message that has done everything perfect, because we're not Jesus. So receive your forgiveness for anything and let it go and put it behind you, okay? If you can't love your neighbor as you love yourself, how can you love your God who you can't see? You can't love your neighbor who you can see. James 3:16. For in envy and in strife there is confusion in every evil work. Now for years we've preached against strife. God has used us to mediate strife biblically and bring reconciliation. We pray that we all endeavor to do the same thing. Censoring someone's feelings is not harmony, because a person who is forced to do something against his or her will is of the same opinion still. It will be pushed down to fester and cause roots of bitterness and resentment. I use an analogy, it's like taking an infection. You just put a band-aid over top of it. You've got to clean out the infection. Okay? If you have a challenge, you need to solve the challenge, not just pretend it's not there. A difference of opinion is not strife. Now, I can disagree with anybody about lots of different things. Doesn't mean we're in strife. Just means we disagree. Okay? I cannot like what suit somebody's wearing. Doesn't mean we're in strife. I just don't like the suit. That's all it means. Okay? Right? Matthew, opposing each other is strife. Now, to walk up and say somebody about that suit and tell them how bad it is for them or something, instead of make a polite suggestion or something like that, that's causing strife, okay? Strife is your interaction with the other person, not the fact you disagree about something, okay? Matthew 18, 15 to 17, if your brother or sister of the Lord wrongs you, go and show him or her his or her fault between you and him or her privately. If he or she listens to you, you've won back your brother or sister in the Lord. If he or she does not listen, take along with you one or two others, so that every word may be confirmed, upheld by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he or she pays no attention to them, refusing to listen and obey, tell to the church that if he or she refuses to listen, even the church, let him or her be to you as a pagan and a tax collector. Okay. In my business arena, and when we ran the healing rooms, many times you have employees and or people that just have challenges of personalities. Almost every time we sit them down, have them discuss the issues, okay? You say your part first, you say your part second. By the time they've explained everything, taking the assumptions of what they meant out of the way, they become friends. And they can work together. Two of our biggest leaders in the healing rooms had that challenge. They became friends. They're still friends to this day, but they don't see each other because one moved away. But the bottom line is, there was a misunderstanding brought in by the enemy, okay, who likes to confuse, who puts strife in the mix, and all they had to do was sit down and talk about it and not assume something, okay? All right. Hebrews 6:12. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, the key word here is patience. We live in a microwave world today. Fast food. Give it to me faster. Okay? We don't have to get up and turn on a TV set anymore. Just click. Okay? God doesn't operate that way. Sometimes your faith has to have patience. It's a test of faith. But you need to wait until God answers your questions. Okay? Pray to get rid of guilt and condemnation, self-hatred, unforgiveness of others, and of ourselves blocks all of our prayers. I'm going to repeat that last part. Unforgiveness, be it somebody else, be it yourself, blocks your prayers. So if you wonder why your prayers aren't being answered, ask yourself, are you dealing with any unforgiveness? Is there anything here you need to get rid of? Okay? All right. Now we're on to part D. Let your love walk be in unity of the Spirit. Ephesians 4, 1-3 says, walk worthy of the calling of which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Psalm 25:9, the Amplified. He leads the humble in what is right. The humble, he teaches his way. Keyword is humble. What is humble? It's the opposite of pride. If you remember Pastor Matthew's teaching from last week, he talked about wisdom, and what stops wisdom is pride. We must make sure there's no pride in us. Everything we do is humble and glorify God. Okay? Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Okay? This is difficult for a lot of people. Especially when you watch the news and you see all the challenges that come on this world, okay? Just pray for them. Don't get angry about them, okay? We don't know where they're coming from. You know, I knew a gentleman back in Illinois, and his father was an alcoholic. Therefore, he was a little rough around the edges, shall we say, okay? When I first met him, he thought he was just a challenging person, but when you realize what the situation was, it's because he didn't know any better, okay? and you can get past that point, then he can become a really good friend. Then you can help him along to be a better person, okay? But if I kept my guard up all the time, I'd have never made friends with this person. It wasn't his fault. He had a dad who was an alcoholic. We don't know whether the dad was generational challenge or whatever, okay? But that's the bottom line. I couldn't let my upset of how he was treating me get to me. What is the reason behind that, okay? 1 Peter 4:8, Amplified Classic. Above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. Okay. In this world today, there's probably somebody who's going to say something or do something to you that's offensive. Just let it roll off your back like water off a duck. Okay? I've said this before. The first thing he taught us in martial arts was not to block a punch, but to avoid it. Just don't take it personal. It won't hurt you.
But if you blow it, forgive yourself.
Exactly.
And then that's where we ask God to help us walk in more love towards others.
Mm-hmm. Okay. To let anger keep you from reconciling and having compassion for others. Okay?
Okay, let's pray this prayer together. So repeat after me, please. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
According to Galatians 5.
According to Galatians 5.
Verses 22 and 23.
Verses 22 and 23.
Help each of us.
Help each of us.
To love one another better.
To love one another better.
With God's agape love.
With God's agape love.
Forgive promptly.
Forgive promptly.
And forget offenses.
And forget offenses.
And to walk.
And to walk
in a greater degree.
In a greater degree.
In the fruit.
In the fruit
of the Spirit.
Of the Spirit.
Of God's love.
God's love.
Joy.
Joy.
Peace.
Peace.
Patience.
Patience.
Gentleness.
Gentleness.
Goodness.
Goodness.
Faith.
Faith.
Humility.
Humility.
And self-control.
And self-control.
Amen.
Amen. So as we go forward today, think about what Jesus did on the cross. What was one of the last things he said? Forgive them, Father, if they know what they do. And we'll talk more about this as we get closer to Resurrection Sunday. But when you read in Isaiah, he was beaten beyond recognition. What you see in the movies and what you see on the pictures is nothing compared to what he actually went through. You know, he did all that, went through all that pain. He forgave, totally from his heart, and gave love. And yes, I'm asking you, no matter what happens to you, I doubt seriously it's anywhere near as bad as what happened to him. He was totally innocent. So walk in love and forgive everybody. Amen. Okay. So we have our communion elements ready. Let's everybody do a USP. Repeat after me, please. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I'm not aware of any sins.
I'm not aware of any sins.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Of all unrighteousness.
Of all unrighteousness.
According to 1 John 1:9.
According to 1 John 1:9.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this to call me affectionately to remembrance." So repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
As we come to your table.
As we come to your table.
We remember the sacrifice.
We remember the sacrifice.
Of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Of your Son, Jesus Christ.
And we thank you.
And we thank you.
For your body.
For your body.
That was broken.
That was broken.
For us.
For us.
And we thank you.
And we thank you.
For your grace.
For your grace.
And drawing us closer.
And drawing us closer.
To you.
To you.
Drawing us closer to one another.
And drawing us closer one to another.
In this church.
in this church
to unify us in like a three-stranded cord
which cannot be broken.
So we are one
in communion with you.
The Trinity. Our Heavenly Father.
Jesus the Son.
The Holy Spirit. And I now take your body. In doing so.
I agree and receive.
That I have been healed. By the stripes of Jesus. From the top of my head. To the soles of my feet. Receive it now in Jesus' name.
I agree and I receive in Jesus' name. We pray according to 1 Corinthians 11:25-26. Similarly, when supper was ended, he took the cup, also saying, "This cup is the new covenant, ratified and established in your blood. As often as we drink it, we call God affectionately to remembrance. For every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we are representing and signifying and proclaiming the fact of our Lord Jesus' death until he comes again." Repeat with me, please. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
We thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord.
For this precious gift of communion. As we partake of your blood.
Of the new and everlasting covenant.
For this is the covenant. That we made with you.
For eternal salvation.
We pray
that we are all filled
with your perfect love
that casts out all fear.
And we also pray
that we have the joy of the Lord
that strengthens us to go forth and share your light
with the world.
In the name of Jesus. We take this cup of blessing.
And we agree.
And we receive.
Because of the blood of Jesus.
And in the name of Jesus.
We thank you, Lord.
That the Holy Spirit. Who dwells in me.
Quickens my mortal body.
And restores it.
To the life of God.
Let us drink. Amen.
We agree and receive. Okay, now we're going to do 20 affirmations of 1 Peter 2:24. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We'll all say it together. Ready?
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
One more.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Praise the Lord.